This is Radio Kate, out in the rain at Bletchley Park. I've come down for a very special garden party, and with me is Simon Greenidge, the Chief Executive Officer of Bletchley Park. Now, just in case some of the listeners don't know the history of this place, and blimey, there is an awful lot of history connected to Bletchley, can you give us a very quick, brief overview?
Bletchley Park is where code breaking took place in World War II and was so successful it made a significant difference to the outcome of World War II.
So I've heard that actually could be as much as like 2 years were cut off the length of the war.
The historians agree it could be 2 years, could have been 2 years. I think other historians are beginning to think that perhaps it made the difference. It's that important.
That's pretty incredible. So what we've got going on here is a huge marquee outside the front of the manor. The manor itself is it's a pretty strange building to look at. It looks like bits have just been stuck on over the years. What's kind of the history of the architecture there?
I think you've described it entirely correctly. That's exactly what happened. So it is a quirky building of a number of styles. Not generally liked as a building, but it's completely iconic. It is the building recognised as, if you like, the building associated with code breaking.
And out here we've got this marquee with lots of bunting and flowers hanging from the ceiling and a bit of music. We've also got 1940s hairdressers coming to do your hair nicely, and a tombola and raffles and tours of the place. Why are we doing that this afternoon?
Bletchley Park is embarked on a programme of redevelopment. The site has grown in terms of interest over recent years, and we need to develop to simply cope with the number of visitors that are coming here. Over the last 5 years, our visitors have increased by a factor of three, and the indications are it could double from here. But we can't cope. We need to develop the site so that we've got the infrastructure in place and to put decent quality exhibitions in. So this is the start of the fundraising, because we need another £2 million on top of the money we've already got, and we're finalising on a heritage lottery bid, which we're hopeful about, for a project of £7.5 million in value. And that's going to put the infrastructure in place for us.
Now, the way you describe that, it almost sounds like you're just trying to, you know, brush things up and put some nicer signs and information in. But, you know, as you walk in through the gates of Bletchley Park, you can actually see one of the code-breaking huts, and the windows are all shut, you know, shuttered down with hardboard. This is actually quite a significant operation you've got going here. You know, restoration as well as just sort of sprucing the place up for visitors.
Yes. Apart from anything else, the site is unique because it's a survivor of World War II, almost intact. So all these buildings are of immense importance in their own right and as a setting. So our development must put the buildings back exactly as they were, and that's what we plan to do. And the party we've got here is Google have joined in with us to try and help us to develop the site. And they are, if you like, leading the industry and saying, come on chaps, you need to be helping Bletchley to close the gap on finances and make it all happen.
We just heard from Peter Barron, and he was saying that Alan Turing, you know, was pretty much the pioneer of algorithms, which is of course what their business is based on. So it makes sense for them to be investing in Bletchley, I guess, sort of pay something back. Yes. But they've also helped you secure the Turing papers that were up for sale.
Yes, they have. And interestingly, they were the organisation that put the first money in, which was the catalyst for us then going ahead and being able to buy them. I think without Google's input, we would have felt that this was a challenge too far, and the papers probably would have gone abroad, and wouldn't that have been a shame?
So what do these papers contain then?
They are mathematical and scientific documents. I have to say, I don't understand them, and I haven't come across many people who do. We have tried to explain them. Professor Jack Copeland, who is a specialist in this area, has written what these things are and explained them. And even that is difficult to understand. That these are scientific papers of the highest order. And they're fascinating to look at, beautiful. But they're also annotated in places by both Turing and by Max Newman, who was one of the leading mathematicians of the time, and Turing's mentor.
So this really is quite a significant thing for you to have here.
Oh, yes,
and
yes.
People can come and visit them and actually see the papers?
Yes, they're on display now. We're just finalising on conservation. And then we're going to formally open them. So they haven't been formally opened, but they are here on display.
That's fabulous. So if I brave the rain and come out of this nice cosy marquee, what do you suggest I go and see this afternoon?
The Turing papers in B block, literally over there.
That's wonderful. I will go and check them out.
Yes.
Thank you ever so much.
Thank you.